You did awesome, though.
Dear Jesus, thank you for today, and I pray for anybody who's sick or injured, and anybody who's driving will drive safely. Amen.
Oh, thank you. The Hebrew and Greek words translated compassion in the Bible means to have mercy. To feel sympathy or to have pity. We know that God is a compassionate and gracious God. In Psalms, let's turn to Psalms chapter 89. Psalms 89. Nick, can you read that? Psalms 86, I'm sorry, 86, 15. I'm sorry, what? 86, 15. Yes.
But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth.
Like all God's attributes, his compassion is infinite and eternal. His compassion never fails, right? In Lamentations, chapter 3, so we're going to be Lamentations. 3, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. This is going to be a great night. So, Lamentations 3:22-23. Brandon, would you like to share that those verses with me, with us?
Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. For his mercies never end. They are new every morning, great is your faithfulness.
So they're new every morning, right? They're always there, and they're always filled up, right? Luke, so it'll be to the right more, a few more chapters, or a few more books. Chapter 7, Luke 7. Luke 7, verse 11 through 12, Brendan. Can you please read that?
Now it happened the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her.
All right, so we have this picture, right? This picture of Jesus. He's approaching a city, right? The gate of the city, Nain. And there's what's going on? What's going on in the city? A person died, right. So normally when somebody dies, there's a thing, a procedure, what happens? You get carried out of the city, yeah. And that is called a funeral, right? It's a funeral procession, right? A funeral procession is going on. So this man is getting carried out of the city. And normally back then, it'd probably happen, you know, the same day he died. Right, he'd die, and they'd go. They didn't let bodies linger around, It's not healthy. Plus, there are ceremonial things about, you know, touching the body and everything. They didn't want to do all that. So this funeral going on is coming out of the city. And this woman, it says that her only son died. Right? Her only son died. And not only that, it says that she's a widow. So what does this tell us? That she's by herself, because a widow, her husband had passed away also. Right? That's how you become a widow. What? Okay. All right. So that she, okay, that the husband's died, and now she is all alone. And we could also see, because there was a large crowd around this funeral procession, right, that people liked her, or liked the family. Can you say that, right? So we could picture this, we get this whole picture just from those couple of verses there, that what's going on. You know, that she was liked. Have we ever sat around and just kind of caught ourselves people watching? Every day. Sometimes it's interesting. Not in a creepy way, though. No, not in a creepy way. You're just like, you're trying to figure out the other person's story, right? You know, what's going on? Now, a lot of times, it's not the big things that tell a lot about a person. It's the small things. It's the little things that people do. This last weekend, I caught myself, I was at a fast food restaurant, and I was waiting for our food and everything, and I was sitting there, I was standing there, you know, at the soap, or in the soda dispenser, right? And there's this guy. He was a tall, slender guy, had a neck tattoo, this huge neck tattoo of a paw print. I don't know what that means, but it was a paw print. He has tattoos by his eyes, the stars, and it could be a cross, I'm not sure. But he looked kind of like he could be intimidating. You know, he wasn't really big, but he looked like he could be a thuggish, if you want it. If you want to go that way, he could be, right? But he had two small kids with him, and you could tell the way he was helping them with the sodas and making sure that they followed him back to the table, everything, that he really cared, not actually, but he cared for the, at least for the kids. You know, that he loved them, that he cared about them. So you could tell, just, I mean, he wasn't down all huggy and kissy kissy, no. But you could just tell, you get that feeling. Have you ever seen people like that? You just know, oh, well, look at how nice they're acting towards you there. Right? So I feel like this is kind of the scene in this funeral, is that these people, whatever's happening and however this person was, they actually cared for this woman. And more likely, they cared for this woman because she showed caring or love towards them, towards the people of the city. Now, this woman's plight is a little bit different when you put it into biblical times. Because biblical times, the economy was more like farm-based. So if you don't have any sons, typically who's working the farm? Nobody, right? Nobody's working the farm. Especially if she doesn't have a husband, she's a widow. So she'd probably be alone and without income. There's very multiple places in the Bible what encourages people to help out the needs of the widows. And the main reason is because at that time, they wouldn't have income. Being a female in that day and age, you know, they wouldn't just be able to go out and get a executive job at a lawyer firm, right? That was only for guys. So it's a little bit different, but it's, you know, it always encourages helping out those in need. So we're back in Luke chapter 7, verse 13. Edon, can you read that? You can? Sweet.
When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep."
Okay. Compassion is why Jesus stopped. You know, with compassion, you know, we could recognize somebody hurting. And then we could see if somebody's overwhelmed, but that should trigger something, that it should be overwhelming for us to have that desire to help. Compassion also is a desire to help, a need to help, to soothe, to just show them that somebody cares. Jesus didn't just watch from a distance. He didn't let her pass by in thinking to himself, "Boy, that's really sad." You know, he stopped. He interacted. He had compassion. He had personal confliction and wanted to personally comfort this woman in need. Attending to others was a natural part of the life of Jesus. And it should be a natural part of Jesus's followers. You know, the believers in Colossians were told to clothe themselves with compassion. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Katie, can you read that? Colossians chapter 3, verse 12.
Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
So having that tenderness and comfort, Jesus, yes. What does yours say? Well, yours is a different version, and I've noticed that on the other one, but what does yours say? So that put on all that, it would be clothe yourself. Put on. So if we're putting something on, if we're clothing ourselves, that's what, like that gentleman I said, what was at the fast food place, you know, he was clothed with compassion for those kids, right? You could see it. Have you ever heard of somebody wearing their heart on their sleeve? Yes? Right? It's just showing your emotions. You're very, sometimes it's emotional, sometimes it's too over emotional, but it's showing your emotions. So that's, you know, if you have compassion, if you're clothed with compassion, that's what people see, is compassion, right? So compassion, that's why Jesus said, don't cry, right? He tells this lady, don't cry to the grieving mother. Now, if it was anybody else except for God talking, I would love to say, well, easier said than done. But it is God. It is God. And just as this widow is going to find out, anything is possible with God. Continue on in verses 14 and 15. on Luke 7. Nicholas. Luke chapter 7, 14 and 15.
Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother.
So what just happened? Poof, you're alive. Pretty much that's the layman's terms of it. Yes, exactly. So Jesus approaches the coffin and touches it. Now, according to tradition and the laws of the day, is that they were not to touch dead bodies, as I kind of mentioned. They weren't allowed to touch dead bodies. You know, they would be ceremonially unclean for a week if they would do this. But Jesus did not directly touch the body. You know, some might think that he got way too close, like he was going to. You know, in the beginning of this chapter in Luke 7, you know, if we go to actually verse 1, but in the beginning, Jesus offers to enter a Roman centurion's house to heal his servant, right? I'm sure people have heard this story that, you know, although going into a Gentile's house would make him ceremonially unclean, you know, in giving aid to a member of the occupied army would definitely make him non-patriotic. Jesus was willing to do that. You know, and then towards the end of chapter 7, we see that Jesus forgives a sinful woman. You know, Jesus was willing to be labeled as a friend to the immoral in order to touch them, to care about them, to let them know that he cares. You know, rituals, the rules, the social do's and don'ts, that didn't matter to Jesus. That didn't matter to Jesus what people thought. You know, he didn't let that stop him. Jesus, it didn't let him stop him from showing compassion. Jesus gave life back to the dead. He gave life back to the dead. And literally gave life back to everybody. Same thing. So he gave life back to the dead because we were dead without him. Now, some might think, and I felt conflicted because some might view this, well, geez, he didn't show me compassion. I had a family member pass away. You know, and it's hard. That's very hard. I mean, he did restore the life to this lady's son. But sometimes we tend to want what we want exactly how we want to get it, you know, but God always has a plan, and he shows compassion to us every day. We might not necessarily think we see it, but it's all around us, the love that he shows. And he has, you know, the way he has it, he has plans, and things have to happen. Sometimes death happens. Sometimes bad things happen. Not necessarily the way he shows, you know, what he wants, but it's part of the plan. It's part of a bigger picture. You know, in this world, there are so many people lost in hurting. You're wondering if anybody cares. You know, the obvious answer is yes. Jesus cares. Jesus cares about all of this. He gave his only son so that we might have life. In Zephaniah, I don't know why I'm really, Zephaniah chapter 3, it's to the left, Zephaniah, right? I say it right half the time when I'm not here, when I'm not being recorded. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Edon, can you read that? Yep. 17.
The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing.
May we offer up compassion as Jesus does. You know, letting his light shine through us. We should be as compassionate as he is. You know, he showed us compassion. We should show others compassion also. Now, we haven't done this in a while, but I'd like to get in a circle and just end us in prayer with everybody praying.